Yo, yo, yo. Hello and welcome to Full Access Hoops, episode 41, an OTG basketball podcast. I'm your host, Corey Waldron. This podcast is mixed, produced, and edited by the one and only Nigel Freeman. On today's show, I give you my top five NBA moments and plays. I've been watching the league indefinitely for about 10 years. So it's going to be rather a short, small scale. But, you know, everybody starts somewhere, right? And to round out this podcast, I'm talking about the Hall of Fame class. Some of those greats that are being inducted into the Hall of Fame. But first, I need to plug the awesome content that we are producing over at Off the Glass right now. Now, right now, we're doing a lot of preview series stuff. Preview season stuff for teams. We have a bunch of written articles happening by all the great guys we have over there for each team. And on the flagship podcast show for Off the Glass, the NBA outlet, which I co-host with the owner and founder of Off the Glass, Nick Fay, we're doing a team preview series off the OTG team power rankings. We've recorded, I think, 16 so far. I think we have like 22 or 21 of them released. They'll be coming out sporadically over the next month or so heading into the season. You can check all that out on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or go right to the source itself, otgbasketball.com. So now, kick back, turn it up, and enjoy this new edition of Full Access Hoops. But first, run the jewels. Step into the spotlight. All right, so I've been watching the NBA indefinitely for about 10 years now, probably since like the 07-08 season when the Boston Celtics defeated the Los Angeles Lakers. I'm a big Kobe fan, so you know, to me that was like the first season where like I was just like all in. I was just like, this is a lot of fun. I'm a Pacers fan, and at that time Danny Granger was the face of the franchise, and the Pacers were just really stuck in mediocrity. But I still remember like Tershawn Prince, the Detroit Pistons blocking Reggie Miller going for a layup to end one of the a dreadful loss. Let me just tell you that. I remember the Malice in the Palace with Ron Artest and Steven Jackson and Jermaine O'Neal coming in with a haymaker punch on somebody, which is still an absolute mess. But you know, so that's kind of like where my basketball started, and then. You know, I started writing and producing content for OTG back in 2015. I've been with Off the Glass since the start. And now I have the honor of hosting my own podcast, Full Access Hoops, here and co-hosting the NBA outlet with the owner and founder himself, Nick Fay, a really good friend of mine. So let's just get right into it. My top five NBA plays and moments. So number five happened when I was just born. Well, I wasn't just born, but I was born. I was not coherent and able to process any of this because I think I was like not even a year old. But that's Reggie Miller's 8 points in 9 seconds. I mean, come on now. 8 points, 9 seconds, a steal of three. Like the guy was incredible. Trash talking Spike Lee that whole game and whole series. The ESPN 30 for 30 winning time is by far my favorite ESPN 30 for 30. Obviously, it highlights the Pacers, so I can be a little bit biased. But that, that sequence is still one of my favorite in NBA history.
105-99, 18.7 seconds left. Miller for three, and he got it. Reggie Miller with a clutch tray, and it's 105-102. And a steal. Miller retreats to the three-point line. Oh, hit the gap. Reggie Miller has tied the game with 13 seconds remaining. Reggie Miller made a three, stole the ball.
Number four on my list would have to be the Ray Allen three against the San Antonio Spurs. LeBron James bricks the three, Bosch catches the rebound, and finds a backtracking Ray Allen for three. And the you know, the call, bang, when it goes in, absolutely stunning.
James catches, puts up a three, won't go, rebound Bosch, back out to Allen, his three-pointer, bang, tie game with 5 seconds remaining.
A play that I'll never forget, and what was a really good
finals that got LeBron James his second ring. And really, I mean, this was the point in time where LeBron James was clearly the best player in the league. Like, we all knew he was, but this is when he started to really come into his own for sure, at least for me. Third, my third favorite play, it's not really a play. It's like the last 2 minutes of a game. It was March 8th, 2013. It's when the Los Angeles Lakers, led by Kobe Bryant, had Dwight Howard and Steve Nash. They were playing the Raptors in Staples Center. The Lakers were trailing. It was a crazy year in general. The Lakers were pretty bad, but Kobe was just like, he was right on the cusp of on his downside of his peak. He was still Kobe. He could still get to the rim. He could still shoot and score like no other. And he was just carrying this pretty bad Lakers team to like an 8 seed. I remember he just hit some crazy threes. You know, he hit 3 threes in a row, 1 3. He bobbed and weaved between two guys and made it. The other one was like a turnaround three in the corner. It was just absolutely stunning. And he ended up having like the game-winning dunk in overtime.
Howard rolling to the basket. And no block is in issue. He's going to have to shoot it with three, with two. In trouble. Forced up and in. Unbelievable.
You know how hard that shot is to make?
Wow.
That's a double head fake from behind the three-point line with a man draped on you.
Amazing stuff again for Kobe. Shot on its feet. Lakers down, in trouble, quickly. Bryant, three from the corner. Yes! Kobe!
You can't score any quicker than that. Now, even if they do score, it's still a one-possession game.
Different set, ball out of bounds, got to get it in. No timeouts to save yourself. And Blake gets it into Kobe. Kobe, good little fake. Three to tie! We're tied at
1-0. So, to me, that entire, you know, sequence and moment between the last 2 minutes of the fourth and overtime was just absolutely incredible. And, you know, unfortunately that season ended with, you know, Kobe tearing his Achilles and then, you know, missing that year, and he never really got back to himself. So that game is kind of like one of the last Kobe moments I have of him being in, you know, being Kobe. Number two, the Paul George dunk on Birdman. I mean, whoo, he came in the lane and just bang, bang. That play was huge. I remember watching that game and hopping out of my seat and wanting to just, you know, rip my heart out of my chest because I was just so hyped up. You know, I never saw a dunk like that before.
Here comes George, got the step.
It was just that rivalry, the Pacers versus Heat, was just a lot of fun. We had some really great playoff matchups. Paul George was up and coming, and everyone saw him as a future superstar. I kind of wish we got to see what he could have been without the leg injury. He's still a very good player. He's still an all-star. He's still a borderline superstar. But he definitely lost some of that athletic ability. Because, I mean, he used to throw down some dunks, you know, 360s, live action games. That dunk on Birdman was incredible. My number one favorite play moment of all time comes from Game 7 of the 2016 NBA Finals. It's not the Kyrie Irving shot. The Kyrie Irving shot is incredible. It's, you know, the shimmy, shimmy, shake, and he hits the three, and, you know, that's the game, that's the series, that's the first title in Cleveland in years to end the drought. It's LeBron's legacy title. But for me, it's the LeBron legacy block. You know, Curry and Iggy running the break. You know, Iggy to Curry, Curry back to Iggy. Iggy gets underneath J.R. Smith, goes for the layup. And as Richard Jefferson described, a black cloud comes out of nowhere and just swats the ball. LeBron James will be remembered for that chase down block, probably forever. I mean, that chase down block was truly incredible, and it, you know, that's his staple. You know, even though he's thrown down some, you know, tremendous dunks, the blocks, the chase down blocks are what, it's truly the play that you can identify with LeBron James. So those are my top five favorite moments slash plays in NBA history. Please feel free to share yours with me. You know, send me a clip of what yours is. I would like to see it. Like, let me interact with it. Let me see if I missed one. Maybe my list needs to be better. Maybe there's a play I forgot. But these are my five.
Wow, man. The Hall of Fame class this year has got some gems in it, let me tell you. You got Grant Hill, the man who, if you, you know, he's a giant what if. If he never got hurt, he may be a top 20 player of all time. He had a lot of Michael Jordan comparisons. But as we know, injuries happen. He still made the Hall of Fame despite the injuries that limited his career and his ceiling. This guy was still a Hall of Famer. So shout out to Grant Hill. Jason Kidd, I mean, the first guy I really ever saw get triple doubles was Jason Kidd for the New Jersey Nets. They had two final runs, him and Vince Carter. That Nets team was a lot of fun to watch. Obviously, Jason Kidd isn't the greatest of head coaches, as we know, but as a point guard, as a player, he was really fun to watch. He obviously got a ring with Dallas, and he was just a fantastic point guard. Steve Nash, another guy, I mean, he could just light it up. He could facilitate. I mean, he didn't play much defense, as we know, but he's an MVP. The offensive game he had was just tremendous. He even had a comment that said, you know, he probably should have shot the ball 20 times a game, which to me is interesting because, you know, obviously Steve Nash was a facilitator slash scorer, and it would have been interesting to see him as a scorer slash facilitator. What were the numbers he could have put up if he was, you know, more aggressive offensively and looking for his own shot rather than being the flashy dimer that we know he was? And then lastly, a guy who cracked my top five in plays and moments in NBA history, and that's Ray Allen, Jesus Shuttlesworth, the man, the myth. One of my favorite stories of all time is from He Got Game, I believe is the movie, with Denzel Washington and Ray Allen. And the one-on-one scene between Denzel Washington and Ray Allen, there's a lot of rumors about that scene, and Denzel Washington actually confirmed this on the Bill Simmons podcast, that initially Ray Allen was supposed to beat Denzel, you know, 11-0 or 10-0, whatever it was, like in the shutout. And Denzel kept telling Ray Allen, you know, I can't go left. I have no left hand. But secretly, Denzel was practicing with his left hand this entire time. And when the scene starts off, Denzel scores like four straight points on Ray Allen. And on screen, you know, Ray Allen's actually getting frustrated. You can clearly tell he's getting frustrated. And Denzel does this lap around around the court. You know, he's showboating and celebrating. That's all genuine. And Ray Allen legitimately gets pissed off and then, you know, scores, I think, 11 straight to win the game. But it wasn't supposed to go down like that, which is something, you know, I always like hearing that stuff about movie stuff that goes, you know, unscripted and stuff. But as we know, Ray Allen, one of the best three-point shooters of all time. The three, you know, obviously when he was in Miami and they beat the San Antonio Spurs, that three saved the series for them, saved the game. And then, of course, his time in Boston, even though that team that won the title doesn't talk or get along anymore, Ray Allen was a crucial part of that team. I still remember the one game against the Lakers in the finals where he had like 10 threes in the first half. Ray Allen's jump shot to me is still one of my favorite of all time. And actually a jump shot that when I used to play 2K, I would always give my player Ray Allen's jump shot because it's just beautiful. It's just, you know, you can't teach that type of stuff. But that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Full Access Hoops. Make sure to check us out on iTunes, Block Talk Radio. Follow us on Twitter at Full Access Hoops. You can follow me on Twitter at KWall Hoops. Check out Nigel Freeman on Twitter at Miles_Free. We have a lot of interesting stuff coming up in the next month. We have a new series in the works. I'm not going to spoil it for you guys, but we're teaming up with a YouTuber to do some really fun stuff. And I'm really excited. We actually had a phone call the other day brainstorming some ideas. And I'm actually really excited to show you guys what we got in the works. But that's not going to be coming until probably the end of the month, early October. But be on the lookout for that. And then again, you know, shout out to OTG Basketball. Off the Glass, make sure to show them some love and check them out and all the other great podcasts we have on the network, which is growing and just booming. So until next time, peace out, knuckleheads.